This is a presentation of Dawnforge Productions.
You're listening to All Things Azeroth, episode 558, All the Cues. Today's sponsor is Audible. Get a free audiobook download at bit.ly/ATA2017. That's bit.ly/ATA2017. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player.
Coming all the way from the exotic land known as Canada, buckle in for another episode of All Things Azeroth. Now presenting your hosts, the always stalwart and honorable Medros, a master of the fell and commander of demons, Fandeth, and everybody's favorite meat shield. Wait, meat shield? Who wrote this? I am not a tank. Ahem. The ever boastful warrior, Toasty, bringing you your news from the World of Warcraft. This is All Things Azeroth.
And welcome back to All Things Azeroth, your World of Warcraft podcast, the almost not quite not live podcast. With me, I have Toasty. How you doing, Toasty?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm not as warm as I was last week. It's still warm. Just it's bearable today. I'm happy about that.
That's good. Fan, how are you?
I'm fabulous. I actually have my air conditioner on today because I was running around a lot. So I'm like, this is hot in here. I'm going to turn the air on. Screw this noise.
Cool. So after all the issues we've had, starting this now at 9 o'clock in the evening, we need to rush through this and get this done as quick as we can. Before everything else falls apart. Yeah. So, how was your weekend WoW there, Fan?
It was okay. Not a lot of WoW time, but I did manage to do a Mythic, or Mythic Plus, I should say. I think I did some Raid Finder, bunch of world quests here and there. I got a new recipe for bacon, to cook bacon or something. So that's cool. What else did I do? I didn't do raid with the guild because I had something else going on Tuesday. I won't be able to raid with the guild tomorrow because I am going to my parents' place to meet my cousin's wife. New wife that I've never met before. I played some Diablo. Does that count?
Ish? I mean, that's gaming. Yeah. It's Blizzard gaming, so... Yeah, sure, why not?
Okay. I was working on my Diablo 3 character... Or seasonal character, I should say. Just before the show. So, that's fun. Yeah, that's really it. Quiet week for me. Just because there's so much other stuff going on. But that's okay. How about you, Toasty?
It's a pretty standard week. Did the raid with Gil on Tuesday. We got up to... what's the boss's name? Harjaten. So he downed Harjaten and got some attempts on Heroic Mistress Sazine or whatever. Then one of our tanks started getting hit with the ping boss. And that was, like, I think by the time we gave up, he was hitting around 1,000 ping.
Ouch.
So not the greatest thing to do. Not the greatest time to attempt to do a heroic boss. I got my 4-piece that night too, so bonus. I'm stoked about that. I was worried I was worried I'd be rocking my 4-piece for longer into this tier than I originally thought, but lo and behold, second night in there. I think it's my second night. Might be third.
I have 0-piece, but I've only gone twice, I think.
Okay. Yeah, so it'll be the third night then. So third night in, I got my 4-piece. What else did I do? I leveled up my priest, got up to 108 before I decided to stop because people were annoying me. Mainly every tank I ran with earlier today, that's what I was doing it. I guess just didn't know what mitigation was because, oh my god, all of them were so squishy. It was really hard to keep all of them alive.
Don't you know the new way to tank is with your back to the boss?
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well,
and sit.
Well, somebody needs to tell Drac and Drunks that, because they're not doing it. They're using mitigation. They're not giving the healers anything to do. And then, what else? I did some world quests on my warrior today. Got another legendary. I got Spine of the Gentis, or whatever it's called. Or the Gentis is invertebrae. Whatever. It buffed my whirlwind. Which is not fantastic, so I'm not using it right now. Yeah, that's about it. What about you, Medros?
My week is a very, very basic week. I did very few world quests, even. Basically, it's just been kind of getting in and doing the basics. I blame Pokemon Go, personally. Because there's just a lot of stuff going on, and a lot of time that I could be at home. I'm instead doing raiding for birds and legendaries and such, which is a lot of fun. For a while, it's just been basically doing the basics, doing maintenance stuff. Still working on getting my second druid and second monk their proper skill levels for professions, because they're so lacking in professions. All my characters really are. There's only one character I have that's 800, and there's only two that are even close to 800 after that. And that's out of, like, collecting and making professions, so. One of these days I need to spend a significant amount of time just, like, going out and farming. Like, flying around, farming everything they need to farm. And, let's see here. Need to also get those two characters their AP stuff. They don't have Concordance yet. But I have now been actually using my AP items on my characters, because with the stuff that's coming in the next patch, they actually will need to have that AP stuff. And I don't think that stuff's going to get any more valuable. I don't think it's going to increase in AP granted for them. So there's no use in not using them. And I've got a fair number of characters actually have a couple extra ranks of Concordance now. So that's pretty cool. But that's pretty much it. There's not a lot of stuff. Basically, basic stuff. Nothing exciting. No raiding. I'm amused that I don't raid in WoW, but I actually do raid in Pokemon Go. But that's a lot easier. So.
Debatable.
I beg to differ. I mean, the raiding we did last night in Pokemon Go, we failed twice, and then we couldn't try again. So, that's pretty hard.
Fair enough. Have you guys caught any of the birds in Pokemon Go?
Have I what?
Have you caught any of the legendary birds?
Nope. I haven't even tried. I've been tempted a few times, but then I'm like, oh, I should be working right now. And so, get back to work.
Yeah, that's been pretty much my thing, too. One day, I'm sure. Maybe this week. If not, the next time it's available.
All right. Well, I guess let's get on with the weekend WoW, shall we?
Yeah. So it's I guess more of a quiet week, except starting yesterday is the Dark Moon Fair, because it's a new month. Hey, August, how's it going? So that's going to run from yesterday, the 6th, through the 12th, and then for bonus event we have the Battleground bonus event, and then there's also going to be the PvP Brawl Gravity Lapse. So that's the one where you there is no gravity, so you're a spaceman. Those both run from August 8th to the 14th. That's it for this week, and WoW, it's pretty quiet.
Well, let's, I guess, talk about the first news piece then. Now, I recall it, I couldn't, when I looked, find the theory of the 77 days. Apparently, the theory behind the 77 days is that there have been 77 days since between patches in this expansion. And 77 days is August 29th. So it's very interesting then that we got the following news today, which is that the PvP Season 4 is ending soon. I think it's very amusing. Don't you guys? Totally unrelated, I'm sure.
Do we know how soon? I guess they generally say. They want to give at least two weeks.
Yes.
But I think they tell you 2 weeks before, so 3 weeks sounds good.
I think in the most recent patches, what's happened is they give the 2 weeks notice, the season ends, and then the week after that is when the patch hits. And tomorrow would be 2 weeks from the 22nd, which could be the end of the season, and then the 29th could be patch day. It's very interesting.
I'm loving all the fascination with 7th and 6th expansion as a Harry Potter fan. I would fully appreciate a patch 7.7. I don't expect there to be actual content until 7.7. I just want them to arbitrarily release patches and label them appropriately until we get to 7.7. As far as I care, 7.7 could be Tumblr integration, as long as we get a 7.7. That's just my feelings on it, though.
I don't know anything about Harry Potter, so I don't know what 7 means.
Well, there are 7 books, there are 7 Weasley children, there were 7 Horcruxes. The number 7 actually comes quite frequently in the books.
Oh.
So, yes, I would fully appreciate as many 7s in Legion as possible.
That would work. I guess, yeah. I just amused that this theory's out there and Blizzard is basically trying to prove it.
I mean...
Or inadvertently proving it. I don't even know if it's an internal thing. Like, it may just be coincidence, but now I think they're actually trying for it.
Yeah, and Blizzard is, like, traditionally very, very, very much into pop culture stuff, so it could just be that they, you know, saw somebody mention it, and they're like, oh, this is cool, let's run with this. Or maybe they intended to do it right from the beginning. Who knows?
Well, if this happens... Then the episode right before BlizzCon, we should be talking about the coming ending of Season 5.
Which lends more credence to our discussion last week about Gamescom and an announcement of the new expansion.
Because Gamescom's coming up right after that, isn't it? Or right before that.
Yeah, Gamescom like is
it this... begins the 22nd, yeah.
Yeah, Gamescom's this month, yeah.
Yeah, so we're looking at Gamescom... In 2 weeks. Two weeks, and Blizzard's going to be there. They've said that already.
Mm-hmm.
This is definitely... it amuses me beyond belief that this is the kind of conversation that's being had, and it's going to amuse me even more if this is actually true. Even Ro, who originally, when this theory came out, said, not going to happen, has now changed it to he is 77% certain it's going to happen.
Well, no. First it was, folks, the 77-day pattern won't continue with patch 7.3. I'm 77% sure.
Yes.
That's what it started as.
And now he is 77% sure he was wrong.
Why 77? Why not 77.7?
77.7 repeating.
We'll have to invite Ro on the show to discuss the lack of a 0.7%. The missing 0.7% of the equation. Yes.
Well, yes. Liz, you're already going with the 7 thing. Just give me a patch 7.7. I don't care what you have to do to make those patches, to create patches to get the remaining, you know, 7, 4, 5, and 6. Just give me... You know, as far as I'm concerned, just skip right to 7.7. If we go from 7.3... And 7.7 is the patch before 8.0.
Oh, no.
I will take that.
That's scary.
Just throw patch numbering out the window, just for that one thing.
Well, folks, you've heard it here first. If the episode for the 29th, which will be 561, if that is a very long episode. This is going to be a very interesting theory to discuss further.
Uh-huh.
Because if our two combined theory, or two theories combined to be correct completely, we will not only have a patch the next day, but we will have a Gamescom expansion announcement to talk about.
Oh, man, so many things. So many things. Okay, well...
Yeah. Gonna be interesting times, guys.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's move on, shall we, to our next big topic.
Yeah, let's take the focus away from, you know, 7.7 and take it over to 7.3, because Ian Hezekostas did a little Q&A last Thursday to talk about some of the 7.3 content and its release timeline. Now, some of the... As with previous Q&As, I'm not going to go over every single point because there's a lot of it, and I fully suggest everybody watching the VOD or referencing the numerous summaries found across multiple fan sites. Some of the things that I took away from that, specifically, one of the big things that I found there was the artifact appearances and their availability post-Legion. They've come out and said that the majority of those artifact appearances will continue to be available post Legion. The exception to that would be the things from the skill challenge. So I assume that means like the Mage Tower ones and the +15 Mythic ones, because those will obviously be very easy to cheese come post Legion. In case you were crawling through the data mine stuff from the 7.3 PTR, looking for new artifact appearances, you may as well give up now. They've confirmed that the team is done with creating the new artifact appearances. So what we have available to us now is all that will be available to us. So they also talked about some of the timeline of release for 7.3 in terms of its content. So... there are multiple chapters of content. The first two chapters will be available on day one, and through those chapters you'll be able to unlock world quests and other world content. Week two, chapters 3 and 4 will be available, which includes the Subzone Smackery, the invasion points, and new world quests. And week 3, we're going to get the final chapter along with the dungeon and the Netherlight Crucible. So the Netherlight Crucible, the thing that allows us to customize our artifacts, won't be available as soon as 7.3 launches. They will be available on week 3. What else did they talk about? They talked about artifact unlocks. So some of the things related to your artifacts are going to change come 7.3. As soon as you get level 110 on a character, all 3 of your relic slots will be unlocked right away, so you no longer have to complete your Order Hall campaign in order to unlock your 3rd relic slot. You'll also no longer have to complete the Broken Shore questline to allow your artifact to go beyond 34 points. And as soon as you hit a level 110 in 7.3, you're going to have level 41 artifact knowledge. And that artifact knowledge will increase automatically. No more research is required. So that's good for everybody who's leveling up alts right now and had some concern about that catch-up item going gray and useless in 7.3. It's going great and useless because it is literally useless. You're just going to be able up to 41, artifact knowledge 41 as soon as you hit 110. So, I'm happy about that.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to save me 1,000 Order Hall resources when my priest is finally done leveling up.
And for me, this would have saved me the embarrassment of doing about 12 world quests for artifact power and then realizing I forgot to use the item to give me 40. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh no, that sucks.
Yeah. What else was there? Speaking of the Order Hall stuff, there's going to be catch-up tokens from missions and chests that are going to help you quickly increase the end level of your followers. Again, something to help your alts along and not make it quite as painful to level them up and their Order Hall stuff. What else was there? I mean, those are the big things that I took away from it. Just... did you guys have a chance to look it over? Did you find anything particularly interesting there?
They had talked about the split raid concept and just how both developers and players don't enjoy a split raid. So basically what split raid is the first week before Mythic comes out, you're going to have a matrix and have a whole bunch of characters that are at max level that you can use to funnel gear. And then you would also do that in following weeks for farm content. And basically all it is just trying to funnel gear to your main characters of your raid team. So it's not a great thing to do. I remember watching how Blood Legion did it way back a couple years ago, and they basically had a spreadsheet of, well, this is the healers that we need, this is the tanks we need. And so basically they had their one main tank do a raid and a bunch of alts to do it with them and stuff like that, just to try to help funnel gear to those characters. And it, a lot of the top tier raid teams do it. There's not really a good solution that they've come across that wouldn't have a negative impact. Basically, like one of the notes here says, the team wants to make sure that the cure isn't worse than the disease being having to do those split raids or feeling the necessity to do that to win the race to world first. So I just thought that that was interesting that that's on the radar, and kind of look forward to seeing what options they might come up with to fix that issue, because it's been an issue ever since mythic raiding was a thing, and it might have been an issue with old time heroic raiding too.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how they address the issue of split raids. Like, now that I actually know what the problem is, I didn't know what split raiding was until you gave that little rundown. So, yeah, that definitely doesn't sound like something particularly enjoyable for anybody.
I mean, that's like the world first teams spend countless hours leveling multiple characters so that, number one, they can take the class that's the best for that encounter, and number two, do extra raids to help get gear.
One other point that I missed initially on my first read over of the was they talked about difficulty for Raid Finder. Just, you know, the difficulty in balancing it and trying to decide what goes in there, because going into Raid Finder right now, especially with two of Sargeras, for the few fights that I've done there in LFR, some of those fights are horrifically neutered. The Avatar of Sargeras fight, for example, the main ad isn't there at all. You're just straight up DPSing it and avoiding mechanics, which doesn't make for a very fun fight, I would think. And they, what they talked about during the Q&A was that keeping all the mechanics for Raid Finder difficulty but making them weak didn't feel great, because there were a lot of mechanics that you probably could have just ignored. And I imagine that Maiden thing is one of those abilities, or one of those mechanics. Same with the Maiden of Virtue fight, where it seems like initially the first infused phase just doesn't happen at all. You don't get infused until the second phase. Yeah, stuff like that missing from Raid Finder. I can see how it would have been very easy to ignore some of those mechanics. I can also see how dumbing them down wouldn't have made them feel fantastic. Like, it made them very easily ignorable. And yeah, that's a hard balance to make. They also stated that whereas previously LFR was intended as a way for people who weren't raiding all the time to see current content, because previous to LFR, if we wanted to, you know, if somebody who didn't raid wanted to look at that raid content, they had to wait until, you know, possibly another, more than likely another expansion to pass before they could attempt to tackle that content solo. And then LFR came along, like, oh, all of a sudden I'm doing Dragon Soul and it's current content and this is so cool. But the fights were, again, very neutered. Apparently what the dev team was looking at, what their focus is, one of their focuses is to no longer make Raid Finder a, quote, tourist mode. And, I mean, I'm far removed from the LFR system now, so it's hard for me to have an opinion now about how that change would affect me. I imagine for some people it's not something that they want. But for some people, but for others, it's going to, that's the only reason they do LFR, because it's very much a tourist mode. So, I don't know. I think right now I'm a little too far removed to really make a, to really have a feeling on that. I don't know. Do you have any feelings towards that, Fen?
I remember, when was that? Siege of Orgrimmar? Is that when the Dorumu encounter? Oh, no, that was Throne of Thunder.
Right, that's Throne of Thunder.
Dorumu was, like, a raid wiper, like, even on Raid Finder.
Oh, absolutely. Nobody could do that maze properly at all.
Yeah. To be fair, it's a mixed bag. It's kind of frustrating when people are trying to actually do it and, you know the content, and then there's people in there that it's their first time seeing it, and they don't really bother to read up on the strats or read what's going on. And, I mean, I'm that guy sometimes, too, where I don't read or watch videos, but do you really want to say that, you know, you have to know the entire fight to actually be able to raid, otherwise you're going to cause wipes, or go in and die. It feels bad to be dying all the time, but so, I don't know, it kind of has trade-offs where you don't want to feel like you're just standing there pivoting, and because you want to actually do stuff, but maybe if you want to challenge, the answer is just to join a raid team, find a raid team, like, or even go through Raid Finder. And I mean, normal mode is pretty easy. If you do your research and you have a decent raid leader, you should be able to find a group that will go through it without much issue.
Oh, I would think so, yeah.
I just wonder why even bother having a Raid Finder mode at that point, because if it's not there to give people a chance to see raids who just don't have the opportunity, then what is it there for? And those people generally don't have the ability to get geared up and don't have the time to do, you know, hours of watching raid videos. If they're going to take away that...
A raid video is like 2 minutes.
Okay, times how many bosses, times how many raids. Like, it's just a matter of, if that's not what LFR is there for, then why have LFR anyway, at all? Like, why have it at all?
Yeah, and I would agree to that point, absolutely. I mean, that was the intention of LFR from the get-go, was to enable people who couldn't make the time investment to see that content. So I don't know how far in the direction of making LFR not a tourist mode they want to take it. It'll be a very fine balancing act, as is most of the, well, balancing that they do in the game. I think if they go either way, or if they stay where no matter what they do, if they stay pat, or if they make it more touristy, if they make it less touristy, there are people that will be unhappy with what Blizzard is doing with with LFR. The goal here, I would assume, is to try to please the most people possible. What they would need to do that, it remains to be the big question. Remains to be seen.
I'm just thinking back now, like, something that I haven't seen in LFR for a long time is where somebody would actually go and explain the fight, explain what's going on, what people need to do, what the tanks should do.
Oh, yeah.
Because that used to happen, where people would actually explain, like, how the fight works. Like, a quick little rundown of things to watch out for, things to do.
Oh, yeah.
That doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah, I remember...
It's just...
I remember when...
Go, go, go.
Yeah, I remember when LFR first was introduced, that was during Dragon Soul. WoW Insider published a bunch of, like, quick copy and paste guides to the bosses, and pretty regularly during Dragon Soul, I would see those things pasted in there. I think after Dragon Soul, I didn't see that once.
I've seen it, like, Throne of Thunder, I saw it. Mogushan Vaults, I don't know.
Okay, so personally, I haven't seen it since Dragon Soul. And, like, for when the Elephars was first introduced, I would see the boss chats pasted in there, and I would see voice chats services pasted in there as well. So people could hop into Vento or Mumble or whatever they were using at the time and communicate there. And I think very quickly people realized that that level of communication isn't necessary in LFR. So they moved away from that, and then they slowly moved away from posting the strats in there, because the expectation was that somebody gave the Dungeon Journal a quick once-over, or that it's going to be stupidly easy to do, and most people will be able to just go in there, tunnel the boss, and have that be okay.
Yeah.
Guess we'll see how this go.
Yep. For all we know, they could just stand pat. Sending pads, I'm sure, will make most people happy.
Yeah. We can hope. We can hope.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing that I noticed from this Q&A that I was really interested in is the catch-up tokens for minions and items that will help you a lot. I'm really looking forward to this, because I have alts that are still struggling with, like, followers that are barely rare quality. Never mind, like, titled. While a lot of my tunes have full followers, there are some that don't have full ones. Some don't even have the equipment required to get those up to the full. So I'm definitely looking forward to that being something that happens here.
Oh yeah, they're definitely taking a lot more steps in 7.3 to cater to people with lots of alts, because we're at that point in the expansion where people are starting to lean into their alts. They're running out of content to do. Yeah, so, and because 7.3, as I assume is going to be the final patch for this expansion, well, aside from the minor patch to unlock the 7.3 raid, it makes sense that they're putting all these catch-up mechanics in there.
All right, so let's talk about another Q&A of sorts, I guess.
Well, I guess after the Q&A that we were just talking about, Lore went to the forums to kind of answer some more questions. So there's a topic on there called The Netherlight Crucible and You. And basically he was just, he said, after yesterday's Q&A, it became apparent that there's still some confusion about the Crucible and how it works. So he answered a bunch of questions about how the talents unlock, etc., like that. So basically, when you first unlock the Crucible, you'll have access to the first additional trait and +5 increase to your artifact's item level. And then the additional rows and parts unlock as your artifacts. No, not artifact. Is your artifact?
Yeah, artifact level
increases. Okay, I was thinking artifact knowledge. I'm like, that's not right. Another, I guess, clarification is you can't get a trait more than once. So when you unlock something, you'll have a choice between 3 traits. So you pick whatever one you want the most, and if you don't get your favorite one, well, maybe next time it'll be an option. But if you do get your favorite one, you won't see that again. So if you get your favorite one and you take it, then you won't see it again. So it won't duplicate those traits. So this goes on for, I'm not quite getting, there's 3 levels, right?
Right.
And so the first one is just 1, and then the second 2 levels are 3?
If I remember correctly, yes.
That's what I thought I had seen before, and that's definitely what it sounds like in this, in the message, or the post that Laura made. So you'll be able to get your, I guess, 7th one at artifact level 75. So basically, it just, you get it every 3 levels.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's it for that. Was there something else that I missed?
Which is that the first two rows, there's no ranking for those first two rows. So you'll only ever actually be able to select it once. Outside of that, that's pretty much another like Crucible Q&A. I don't know. That definitely shed some clarification on that, because I think the way it was laid out in the, at least in the Wowhead tool initially, there was some confusion, for me at least, how everything was unlocked. It wasn't very clear. I think that's one of the things I mentioned last week, wasn't clear how those ranks were unlocked. So now knowing that, I'm definitely understanding the system a bit more.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm still not totally clear, but it's one of those things that I just have to see to really get.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see that at the the third week of 7.3?
Yeah.
When we can unlock that. And then, I don't know if you had mentioned this when you were talking about the Q&A, but once you unlock it for one tune, it's unlocked for everybody.
Right, because they're moving to... Yeah, we didn't mention that, actually. We should have, because that was actually a pretty big one, too, because there's a lot of account level unlocks as of 7.3 now, which is good.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of that.
Yeah, definitely good for those of us who have lots of alts.
Yeah.
Do you guys have any new pets? Anything new in your pet Mermount collection, perhaps?
I have a new toy that I bought from one of the people on the Broken Shore that I hadn't bought it from previously. So I got my 100 toy achievement. Ah, that's something I could have talked about like an hour ago. I got my 200 toy achievement this week.
I have a new mount and a new pet. They change colors.
So what about these color changing mounts and pets, Petros? What's going on with that?
I think it was like the last build, the last PTR build. WoW had discovered a new pet, new mount that initially had different colors. Now, it's not uncommon for pets to have different colors. However, the different colors were attached to the same pet in the files. And just a few days later, we found an announcement from Blizzard. Maybe we were expecting this to be a charity pet mount collection package. So we'd see this sometime in November or December, and it'd be charity, and we'd, you know, all go goo goo and gaga over it. Well, that was not the case. This is now available for everybody to buy. Currently, it's on sale for $30. You get the pet Twilight, which is a little color-changing kitten who, like most cats I know, seems to only get in trouble. And you can also get the Luminous Starseeker mount, which is pretty much the same, but kind of a grown-up version with the mount of the saddle and everything. And you get to ride it around. It's really awesome. I really enjoyed looking at it and just watching the colors change. It's very distracting, actually. And it's a lot of fun to ride around on. Surprisingly, I didn't see a lot of people in Dalaran with it. I was kind of expecting to see more people with that being what they rode.
I give it time. I think this took a lot of people for surprise. I don't think anybody was expecting something to hit the store so soon after it was discovered.
Yeah, definitely.
Normally, we get a lot of lead up for these store mounts. So, yeah. I was able to resist for all of 30 seconds. I'm proud of myself. Pretty sure I didn't even wait till I got home. I just bought it while I was at work.
No, yeah, you did. I remember you posting about it on Slack. The one cool thing about this pet is that is that they're giftable, so you can gift them to your friends.
You know, it's too bad. You know, you mentioned the giftable thing. It's really too bad that we're not doing trivia anymore, eh?
Yeah.
It's really, really unfortunate.
And then also, with the tokens being usable, you can add to your BattleNet balance with it. Given the current prices of tokens, it is 208,873 gold to buy. So that's not bad. Of course, you have to spend more gold to get two tokens, so that's going to run more like 300,000, but whatever.
I don't feel that a pet and a mounder worth 200,000 gold, but whatever. What if what's your boat, I guess?
Meh. I mean, it's not like you paid anything for the gold, so...
No, but I worked for it. And time is money.
Okay, goblin friend.
This just in. Medros is now a hordy. What?
I didn't know goblins could be paladins.
Yeah, no, they can't. You're a fraud. You're a warrior.
You're a phony.
I'm always Alliance.
I just thought this token thing, I used it to buy my Diablo 3 the Necromancer, but I can use it to buy Hearthstone cards too. Jeez.
If you wanted to, if you tried really hard, you could buy a lot of Venezuelan Bolivar for gold.
Well, the only problem with that is you can't actually, like, take that out of the game. But I understand what you mean.
I can't believe I forgot to put that in there. That was me trying to work that topic in there.
Yeah, I figured. But yeah, it's a really interesting idea. The really cool pet and mount. I really enjoy it. And I'm really curious what the charity one's going to be. It's going to be very cool.
Isn't the kitten so cute? It's the best.
Funny story. I bought them right away. Ask me how many times I've used them since then.
How many times have you used them since
None.
Then?
None. I completely...
What was really funny is you're like, oh, I bought this thing. It's awesome. Now I'm playing Overwatch.
Yep. That's pretty much exactly how it went down. And I didn't actually log into WoW until a couple days later, and I completely forgot that I bought them. Until about now, actually. Even as I was putting these show notes together, and I read that, and I read the link that Fan put in there already, I'm like, oh yeah, that's the thing that happened. Didn't occur to me that I had bought it.
Wow.
Pretty sure it's not even set to my favorite mounts, so it's not part of my rotation. I'm gonna make sure to do that later today.
Okay, so moving right along, tell us about what we found out on Twitter. Somehow we missed for ages. Toasty.
Yeah, so we found this out just excuse me earlier today because Blizzard CS was tweeting about it. Basically, they have an app that will allow you to help other players on Twitter. My understanding is, just based on reading that article, that app will send you notifications if somebody tweets one of the Blizzard CS. Blizzard CS accounts, and you'll have the opportunity to answer those questions if one of those reps hasn't gotten to it yet, which is really cool. You know, you use Twitter to not be a dick. Who would have thought?
Not me.
Yeah, there's a couple things you can do. You can set up so you can receive email notifications whenever a question gets there. I'm not sure exactly how that would work, but I feel like that would be very spammy really quick. But it allows you to go through a bunch of unanswered tweets to the CS accounts and answer via your own Twitter. So you do have to have your own Twitter account to use this function. It also has a section for answered questions to the Twitter, just in case you want to look over those, maybe, and see if those answers were correct or maybe something you didn't know. So it's pretty cool to have something like this to kind of help, to kind of have the community help itself. I'd be interested to see just how often it is helpful. Just knowing Twitter in general. But apparently there are a bunch of people who have been doing fantastically with it, because they've listed a bunch of people on this article in their Wall of Fame that have been well known for helping many players on their channels. They've had somebody with Overwatch, Hearthstone, and they've had people helping in multiple languages: English, Spanish, Portuguese, French, German, Spanish, and Russian. So, if you want, join that group of people who's helping answer all those questions, because that's just a cool thing to do.
That is awesome. I'm very curious how this is going to turn out, though. Crowdsourcing is not always successful.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Just knowing, you know, Twitter in general, people behind anonymity and all that other stuff, usually doesn't end well. But hey, we've got at least 10 examples of people who have gone above and beyond to help out. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. We'll see how it continues to go, apparently, because it looks like it's been going on for a while. And we just didn't notice.
And one last thing before we move on to the show here. It's really amusing to me. You know, like, I've seen Blizzard release many games, and there's one game they have that constantly amuses me in how quick the turnaround has been in many cases. Hearthstone can go from announcing an expansion to releasing that expansion in days. If not, at most weeks. I remember when they first announced it, I was asking one of the devs, or one of the community managers, when can we expect this out? And I was floored to hear the answer was in 3 weeks. I don't feel like Knights of the Frozen Throne was announced all that long ago, but in 3 days it's here. Only three days. 3 days is all we have until that launches. And that really kind of throws me a little bit, but makes me very happy. Because that means that they have shown that they can do things quickly and have quick turnaround and be successful at it. However, there's not as much balance required in a game like Hearthstone as there is in WoW, because it's very different games.
I don't know. I feel like we say this every time a Hearthstone expansion comes out. We're always really surprised at how quickly the turnaround and how quick the turnaround is. I think that's just something we have to expect from that team in particular. Just, yeah, by the way, here's the thing, and it's coming out in 37 minutes.
Yeah.
Is what it feels like.
Like, wasn't it the second BlizzCon? They're like, they kept decreasing the time until release throughout their announcement until it was basically, yeah, it's releasing at the end of the week.
Yeah.
It was like, seriously? Oh,
which one was that?
Come on, guys. We do need some time here.
Let me process this. No? Okay. Here's my money. Give me the cards. And, yeah. For those of you who are, you know, super into Hearthstone, remember, with this expansion, we get the fancy new... Get the fancy new card loot stuff where, you know, legendaries, you're not going to get duplicates of those. You're guaranteed a legendary within your first 10 packs, I want to say. I know it's something small anyway. So, you know, you have that to look forward to.
Yeah. Blizzard, you're a funny company sometimes. Take 4 years to develop a game that you don't release, and another game releases content, it seems like, 5 times a year. Never understand.
Keep us on our toes.
They succeed. They definitely succeed. So, time for our sponsor message. Today's show is brought to you by Audible. You can get a free audiobook download at bit.ly/ATA2017. They make great audiobooks narrated by great readers. The book pick I have this week has kind of tendrils in a lot of different books or a lot of different areas I've covered before. So, the narrator of this is the same person who does the Magic 2.0 books. The style of book is very much like the Awaken Online series that we've talked about before, and several people in the show notes or in the chat room are undoubtedly addicted to that series. Even the title is sort of like Awaken Online, which is kind of funny to me. The series is called Ascend Online, and it's definitely a different story. It's not the same story, but there's definitely some similarities between Ascend Online and Awaken Online. I've really been enjoying this book. I'm reading it now. It's a long book. It's 17 hours. I can't imagine anything that I can get that is 17 hours of entertainment for free. Never mind the cost of a credit if you decide to sign up. Let's listen to a bit of a sample of Ascend Online, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Peter, I said after my earpiece beeped, indicating the line was connected. Yo, Mark! The voice behind the phone sounded rushed, excited. Where are you? Eh? I'm exercising in the Aries at my gym. What's up? You're up pretty early for you. Is everything okay? I asked, concerned. Peter was one of my best friends, but he was a night owl. Having him awake this early in the morning was unusual. The Aries? Peter sounded confused for a moment. Oh, right. That augmented reality training thing. Yeah, and I was winning, too, I breathed, letting some of the annoyance creep into my voice. What's up, you okay? Yeah, man, I'm fucking great. I'm calling because I've got news. Huge news. He paused for a moment to take a breath. Creative Tech just announced a new title.
And that is, again, Ascend Online. It's written by Luke Chimalenko, narrated by Luke Daniels. And you can find that and over 180,000 other titles over at bit.ly/ATA2017. And we thank Audible for sponsoring the show. All right, Satoshi, it's time to get us on the way, right?
Normally, yeah. We did get some answers this week. Unfortunately, none of them were right. I didn't actually decide what I was going to do with this one. Oh, this one's already been open for 2 weeks. I think we're going to close it off there. The answer was Melagos. We did get answers, you know, for other dragons. It just, none of them were unfortunately the correct ones. So there will be no winner for this week's clip. And as a reminder for everybody, we're putting this portion of the show on hiatus. So it will come back eventually at some point. We're just going to take a little break from doing it.
Indeed. And you know what? Somebody in the chat room had a really great idea. Erlina suggested, you know, we could just give that prize to a random person who does a question of the week. And you know, I think we're going to do that. You know, I think we're going to give Mount Set, the pet and mount, the new pet and mount, to a random winner, or a random person to answer the question of the week this week.
Okay. Well, all right. Well, we'll get right into that portion of the show then.
All right. So our question of the week last week was, what was your favorite question and answer from the 7.3 Q&A?
The only answer we got was from WookieBH, which is Nick of WoW Talk, and they said most artifact appearances will be available post Legion, which is awesome.
Yeah, unfortunately, that means that our random answer is very, very small.
Okay, Siri, random me 1-1.
2.
Ah, I knew Siri wasn't that bright.
So, folks, if this is what we're going to do, you might want to answer some questions of the week in the future. Because y'all just lost $30 worth of pet mount. So, All right. So that said, our question of the week next week is, have you or are you buying the new pet and mount combo? I know somebody who's not going to be.
Fanda?
No, the person who just won it. They're not going to buy it.
Well, that too.
But yeah, so we'll look forward to your answers next week. And that will be awesome.
Oh no! I forgot to grab stuff from the Question of the Week channel. I mean, we only had one answer from there. But I forgot. Frasley said the one about account wide unlocks for a lot of Arcus content, alt friendly. Fortunately, Frasley already has that mounted pet combo.
Siri, roll 2.
I'm not sure I understand.
Completely useless.
Oh, surprise, surprise, Siri was useless.
So, okay, well, Toasty already bought it. Are you going to get it, Metros?
I already own it.
Did you say you already got it? Okay. I will get it. I don't think I'm going to spend real money on it. I think I'm going to get some tokens for it at some point. Maybe when it goes on sale, I don't know. So I look forward to hearing other people's answers for that. I just pasted in the chat. I did some digging on Twitter and found a tweet from January 28th, 2016, where Blizzard CS actually tweeted about players helping players. It says, Players helping players, common practice is now on the forums, or common practice on the forums is now on Twitter. Find out more. The link is dead, but seems to be kind of when they started doing the players helping players thing. So it's been a long time.
Oh, cool. Oh, yeah, we really lost over that. Way to go past us.
There's just one us. It's the present us. Past us was still us.
Nope.
All right. So, shout-outs. All right. So our Patreons get their shout-outs first, as we do every month. The first show after the billing goes through. Yes, we wait for it to say you actually paid us. Sorry. So the second episode of the month, we always do our shout-outs for our Patreons, our patrons, the people who are generous to us. And as soon as this list loads up, I'll be happy to tell you who that is. Unfortunately, for some reason, it's not wanting to do stuff properly. Really should have done this earlier. All right, so our patrons for July were the following people. Navimi, Fandeth, Redzian, Frasley, Thomas, Erlina, Toasty, that's P-O-S-T, not P-O-T-S, Troy, Brock, and Bimini. So thank you all for supporting us. We thank you very much for your support. You make this show work and happen a lot better, and we want to make sure you are very clear that you are appreciated. So thank you very much to all of you for your support. All right. To our own shoutouts. My shoutout is going to go to a friend of ours, because a friend of ours has recently launched a new venture and deserves to get noticed, I guess. Our good friend Rudders and a friend of hers have created a new company called Rumo Creations. They're offering digital work. You can get $10 off, and if you order a second, you get $50 off, or two of the price of one, depending on who the artist is. If you go to rumocreations8.wixsite.com/rumo, you can check it out and see what they have. Some really great artwork, and I think you'll find some really cool stuff. So definitely check them out. Again, we'll have that link in our show notes. And yeah.
Can you paste that in the Discord channel too?
Yeah, I can definitely do that.
All right, I want to give a shout out to Team Canada for punching their ticket to BlizzCon for the Overwatch World Cup, which was pretty awesome. I definitely was not expecting that, given some of the competition they had. But they managed to do that, and they only dropped two maps in the process, which was pretty cool. And those two maps were against Russia. Otherwise, they completely shut out every other team they went up against.
Awesome. And that's an across Canada team, or probably Toronto or Vancouver kind of?
I'm not sure where a lot of them are from. But yeah, it's like across Canada kind of thing, I would assume.
Awesome. Well, it's great to see our Canadian team making it far so far.
Oh man, and that Agility's had a sick nano blade. Oh my god, took out five people racked up five kills on when they were playing defense on King's Row. I was just insane watching that go down. I loved every minute of that.
Cool. And how about you there, Fan?
I'm going to give a shout-out to you two for coming and hanging out last night and letting me make some delicious barbecue. It was amazing. I had it for dinner again tonight.
Well, I didn't really do much in helping you make the barbecue, but I definitely enjoyed helping you eat some of it.
Well, it enabled me to do it.
Give you a reason?
Yeah.
Awesome.
And I've been wanting to do it for a while, so it was pretty awesome.
All right. Well, I think that's about it. So who wants to close out the show?
If you'd like to reach us by voicemail, you can call us at 1-785-ATA-WOW-5 or 1-785-282-9695. You can send emails to show at allthingsazeroth.com. And if you like what we do here, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/allthingsaz. You can find the show over on Twitter at allthingsaz, Medros is at Medros, Fandeth is at Fandeth, I am at ToastyPostyCan, and you can find the network over at Dawnforge. And please check out the other shows from Dawnforge Productions, including Group Quest, Shattered Soulstone, More Than Megapixels, and Across the Hooniverse.
Indeed, and we'll be back next week. In the meantime, take care, happy hunting, and we'll see you on the other side of, well, the Knights of the Frozen Throne, really. All the knights, many knights, maybe even an Arthas, who knows?
Thanks for listening to this podcast from Dawnforge Productions, copyright 2017. Find us online at thedawnforge.com.